Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. It's another week of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're glad you're with us around the state. Whatever Super Talk station you're tuned in on this afternoon or online, welcome Bob and Kelly today from the Southern Bank Corps Studio in Hattiesburg. Luke will be out this week. I'll be out most of the week. We'll talk about that a little later. But right now, let's get right to it. Dickey's Barbecue sponsors the opening segment of our show, and we appreciate all they do. Great place to cater your next event. Treat your family to a great meal. They're big supporters of Southern Miss Athletics, and they're great friends of ours, and we certainly encourage you to do business with Dickey's Barbecue Pit. It's Monday. You know what that means. We bring baseball coach Scott Berry on the Eagle Hour, and always so grateful for your time, Coach. We were talking before we went on the air, 3 hours late getting started yesterday, and we will review all the games. And you played in a rain throughout. What was the thinking yesterday, and at what point did you realize that maybe you were going to get to play and reach agreement with Valpo to play the 9 innings?
Well, you know, one of the reasons that we went to synthetic grass is to try to stay away from doubleheaders if all possible, and that's what we were able to do. And thankfully, we had it yesterday, or we probably wouldn't have been able to play. But you know, on Friday when we consulted the weather service, and nothing's guaranteed when it comes to weather, especially in South Mississippi. But you know, we felt like that we could move the game up earlier on Sunday with everything being consistent with the models that the rain wouldn't get here until mid to late afternoon on Sunday. But quickly things changed Saturday night after the fact that, you know, we couldn't do a doubleheader. You know, we would have had to announce that on Friday to be able to do that on Saturday. So just kind of crossed our fingers and woke up Sunday morning and said, oh, no, doesn't look good. But, you know, as we consulted with them and at the 12 o'clock hour, an hour after the announced game time of 11, it looked like that we would have a window to play for at least a couple hours, if not longer, from 2 to 4. And we were able to get it in, and it rained the whole time, Bob. But, you know, there was no lightning. So that's the biggest thing that would keep us off our field now. It's not necessarily the rain. It's the lightning. So we were fortunate to not have any of that to stall the game and make it longer than what it was.
I think I just realized what you were telling me before we went on the air. That really was only an hour after you were scheduled to start the game at any rate. So there was talk, well, you know, Valpo really was willing to stick around, but really you only started an hour late than you were contractually going to start anyway.
Yeah, absolutely right. And, you know, had they been on a flight to meet a flight, then certainly we would have gone to a doubleheader on Saturday. But the mere fact that they were on a bus, they didn't have class today, they're on spring break for their second week this week. So there was really nothing there other than, you know, if it got way late in the afternoon or night, then certainly we probably would have had to bang it. But given the fact that there wasn't a flight that they had to catch, it was pretty easy to just let's just kind of wait it and see what's going on. I mean, they came south to play baseball because they can't play it up north this time of year most of the time. So that's what they are here to do, and certainly we wanted to play as well.
All right, been playing tough competition. Let's go back to Tuesday night. Ole Miss wins that game 11-5, and I heard what you said after the game, and I think sometimes that maybe sometimes fans don't give enough credit to the opposition, but I did hear you talk about that, that Ole Miss has a tremendous batting lineup, and it's a tremendous baseball team. And I heard you say there's a reason they're ranked number four in the country. So you have to play your best game, and you have to pitch your best to beat teams like Ole Miss. Is that fair to say, Coach?
Oh, very fair to say. I mean, you know, certainly going into it, I knew they returned a lot of guys from last year. They, you know, they'd lost a couple of key players, Elko and Graham and the catcher, but they replaced them, and they had those guys in the waiting to replace them too, and you could see that. They're weekend guys, obviously. We didn't see them as far as on the mound, and they didn't see ours, so it was a battle of midweek pitching against, you know, each other's offense. And, you know, once you went through one time through that lineup, you could tell that Ole Miss was pretty potent on the offensive side. They're big. They're physical. Everybody in that lineup has the ability to leave the yard at any time. And they really impressed me and our staff with their offense and how they handled us, which was pretty easy, honestly.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get to the weekend series. Got about 5 minutes left in the segment. You come back, you win the series. I thought really good performance Saturday and Sunday. I was listening to you Friday night after the game, and you seemed unusually, I don't want to say irritated, but the tone of your voice was a little different, Coach. You just seemed to be kind of upset with what you described as the toughness of the team. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're an older team for the most part that we start on the lineup, and you know, these guys need to stand up and get her done for us. I mean, you know, both Friday and Saturday we give up two runs in the first inning, so we're behind already before we even bat. And credit Valpo, man. I mean, if you watch the game, you could tell they had some really good hitters, especially in the top of the lineup. And
no question.
We saw that both on Friday and Saturday. I mean, before we knew what would happen, we were down 2-0. But, you know, credit Tanner Hall and being able to go the next five innings of throwing up zeros and giving us a chance to hold it there at 2-1. We scratched for a run in the third to make it 2-1. But, you know, it's the pitcher's job to give your offense a chance to get back in the game or to take the momentum of the game. And just never felt like that we did that. Of course, in the seventh inning, we self-destructed. We had some walks and hit matters, a couple of hits there, didn't feel the bunt. The momentum really swung their way. And then, of course, their four-hole hitter, what he's supposed to do, he hits a grand slam, and we're down 6-1 and really never recovered from that. So, I was not real happy on Friday, but our guys responded and came out and played Saturday and Sunday to win the series, and that's that was the best we could do at that point.
Right. Certainly, what you just described happened Saturday because Valpo goes up 3-0, but then Matt Adams retires 12 of 13 batters from the fourth inning on, just gave up one single, really pitched well. Bats got to going, and you won that one kind of going away 8-3. So much, much better performance all the way around, yes?
Yes, most definitely. You know, I think, as you said, we were down 3-0 once again before we ever hit. We're down 2-0. Credit Valpo and taking good swings on pitches that they don't need to foul back, and they didn't. But, you know, I think one thing that we were able to do on Saturday and Sunday really well is that we were able to manage our pitch count, and we were able to get their guy – pitch count up as well. You know, in the first inning, Adams threw 21 pitches, and we got their guy to throw 18 pitches. So we pretty much evened that after two innings. So, you know, that's one thing we didn't do on Friday night. We didn't run their pitch count up on their starter, and they ran ours up on Tanner. But it was a three-run homer there in the third by Dustin Dickerson that really brought that momentum back in our dugout and really kind of sent a message because that tied it up after a tough 12 innings that we had seen played prior to that from Friday night into the third inning of Saturday's game.
Yeah, it was a dramatic moment. That's a kid that carries his emotions up on his shoulder, and, you know, you can see he fired up, I think, the whole team. And then Sunday in the rain, I'm going to throw two words out. Nico Mazza, what a performance by that kid.
You know, the only thing that he hurt himself was, and it, if he had a couple of hit-by-pitches, and maybe a walk in there. But I think that was weather induced, in all honesty. I think it just the ball would get slick, and it's not like him to hit guys, and he just kind of didn't have good control of the ball at that time. It seemed like every time we went on defense, it started raining. And it started raining harder. So I even said something to one of our coaches. I said, does it just start raining when we go back out there? But, you know, outside of him hitting a couple of guys, you know, you surrendered, gave up three hits, and had one run, one earned. But, you know, the 11 strikeouts and the two walks, that was the difference of going seven innings on 105 pitches and taking us deep, deep in the game. And, of course, we answered on that offensive side. For one of the, you know, for once in that series, we jumped out 2-0 after we got our first at bat, and that came off the bat of Slade Wilks on an opposite field 2-run homer, a big, big at bat. And I thought it really made a statement, particularly when we were trying to carry that momentum from Saturday's game after tying the series 1-1 into Sunday to try to win this series.
No question. Now, Coach, did you have a dry piece of clothing on when the game was over?
No, I think everything was wet that I had. So, but it was fine because it was a win.
All right, when we come back, Kelly will get into the conversation here with Coach, kind of entering phase two of the season now that conference play is about to begin. More with Coach Scott Berry right after this, Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, Campus Bookmark, campusbookmark.net sponsors this segment of the Eagle Hour, and we really like those guys. Great, great lunches. The best catfish in town every Friday starts at 11 o'clock. And 4th Street Bar and Grill, you can always enjoy good food. Also, I want to thank Campus Bookmark, campusbookmark.net. Miss Kathleen is just the best, and we appreciate all she does for Southern Miss. And I know Coach Berry thinks an awful lot of Miss Kathleen as well at Campus Bookmark, campusbookmark.net. All right, Kelly, get in here with the baseball coach.
Coach Berry, welcome back again to the Eagle Hour. I want to go back to what you were talking about in the first segment in the Valpo series about not running up, you know, the pitch count. Even at the 11 and 12-year-old level, I stress to kids about the importance of a good at-bat. A good at-bat doesn't always necessarily mean that you're going to wind up at first base. You know, by fouling off some pitches and putting some miles on the pitcher's arms, I think that good at bats, again, even though they don't necessarily result in you winding up at first base, is a really underappreciated part of the game. How do you define a good at bat?
Well, a great at bat is one that has something that comes out of it positive, and it's not necessarily the base hit. It's just what you explained. It could be fouling those pitches off. It could be extending the at-bat. Maybe it's a hard hit ball. You know,
right?
You fail 7 out of 10 times where you don't get a hit, and you're still considered a very good hitter in baseball. And no other sport gives you that kind of ratio, and you're good. So we know how hard it is to hit a baseball right off the bat to be successful from a numbers standpoint. But, you know, a good at-bat can be squaring up a baseball. It could be a strikeout where you saw 6-7 pitches. It wasn't just 3 or 4 pitches. We got something out of it. If you look back at Friday night, Tanner threw 32 pitches in the first inning. There were 2-3 hits involved in that 32 pitches. Our half inning saw 9 pitches. So we averaged 3 pitches a hitter. And we had F8, F9, K. So to me, there wasn't, you know, 2 fly ball outs and a K in that situation. The message after Friday night was we have to have better at-bats. We have to have better competitive at-bats. We have to have better quality at-bats. Maybe that at-bat is situational. Maybe it's a sacrifice fly.
Right.
Maybe it's a runner at second base, nobody out, and you hit a right side ground ball. Well, it's not a sacrifice. It's an at-bat, but it's a team at-bat that moves a runner to third less than two outs. So there's a lot of things, a walk, a hit by pitch, all those things can turn out to be quality at-bats, and that's what you're trying to do. With 27 outs in the game, you don't want to give away at-bats that aren't quality outs. You're going to have to make 27 outs for the game to be over if you bat the nine innings. So outs are going to happen. There's no, you can't win a game without outs, making outs, but it has to be quality outs.
Yeah, well described. And again, I think that's an underappreciated part of the game. As I tell 11, 12-year-old kids all the time, look, you didn't get on first base, but that was a good at-bat. You know, they don't want to hear that necessarily. But all right, let's talk about, I want to ask you about, and obviously nobody specifically, but is there, the bullpen specifically, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your confidence level in the unit as a whole to be able to hold leads? And then if you don't mind describing why you arrived at that number.
You know, I would think right now that out of 1 of 10, that after 15 games into it and almost one game shy of our first season, the non-conference season, I'd probably give it a 6, to be honest with you. And I think that that's an ongoing process. I think we have so many new guys, whether they be transfer or would they be high school guys that are still learning, particularly at this level. A lot of these guys that have even transferred in have not played the competition that we have on our schedule right now. So that is an education in itself, being able to have to come out and compete against very, very good competition. We do that for a reason, Kelly. I mean, I schedule that for a reason. Number one, and the better the competition you play, the better resume you build for the committee at the end of the year to say, you know what, they weren't dodging people. They played quality opponents. They weren't afraid of that. And if you can take care of business and win your share of games, then certainly it's hard for them to leave you out. But on the same hand, it's also a learning curve for particularly these younger guys, the new guys that come in that haven't been around this. You know, right now you look at our three starters, Tanner, Adams, and Nico. They have been in this program. Nico only saw 5 innings, I think, last year, but Nico saw a lot happen with his eyes. He got to see a very good staff last year and learn from just being on the side watching. It wasn't necessarily being out there on the mound doing it. He had an opportunity to learn by watching. So, and that's kind of where we are with a lot of these other guys. As we move forward, I hope that number continues to climb, because that's part of the development and that's part of the process. You know, I wish I could tell you right now that I was at an 8 or a 9 last year's staff. I would tell you that. You know, that's where we are, and for a very good reason. One of the top staffs in the country. 748 strikeouts over, I think, 188 walks. You know, in this young season right now, we're sitting here 166 strikeouts, 64 walks, and 24 hit by pitches. So, you know, wow. Those numbers aren't what they were last year, but it's not that we're not continuing to work and develop and getting better each time out. What these young men have to do is they have to be able to take the opportunity that they had on that mound and learn from it, whether it was good, bad, or indifferent. But that's the process that has to take place.
And I know, Coach Berry, there are people driving in their cars listening to this show, banging on the dashboard saying, would somebody please ask about leaving runners on base? If there was a magic bullet, if there was a way to answer it, you would have answered it by now. It's just one of those horribly frustrating things.
It is, and you know what? There's two parts of that, though. You know, they could be banging their head on the dashboard going, why do we never get anybody on base? You know, that you've got to get people, you've got to create an opportunity, Kelly. I mean, and then once the opportunity is there, then you have to make good on it. You know, what we're trying to do as a team right now, we're trying to make ourselves an opportunity at the end of the year to be one of the 64 teams in that NCAA tournament. And that's a process that's going on. But the opportunity is every time we play, we have to take advantage of that and win and get that opportunity at the end. And it's the same way with runners, getting runners on base. you know, you're asking for that opportunity to drive them in. Well, it's the same thing. You're asking the opportunity to get in the regional tournament so that you to win a national championship. So, yeah, it's frustrating, but we did a better job this weekend as a whole on Saturday and Sunday. You know, just like we did some situational things, a couple of sack flies. Tate Parker had a nice sack fly. Lynch had a nice sack fly. Sarge had one. You know, yesterday, even though the game was kind of at an 8-1, Ewing hits a bases loaded clearing double with two outs. You know, those are big moments that we hope that we continue to learn from, and it gives us more momentum as we move into the next opportunity.
All right, Coach, just a couple minutes left. Talking about competition, it doesn't get any easier. Southeastern Louisiana may fly under the radar of fans, but Southeastern Louisiana is 11-5, and they're coming off of a weekend series win at Auburn, Coach. So they're going to be a handful.
They are going to be a handful. You know, I've watched their scores all year. They've done a great job. Like you said, they're 11-5. They're 6-2 at home. Some things that really stand out at me, especially the stolen bases. They're 54-62, so they're gonna try to run. Obviously, you got to get on base to be able to do that, but they've been able to do that. Their on base percentage is .446, which is phenomenal. In all honesty, so they're a well coached club. They're playing really well right now, having gone on the road at Auburn. They lost the first game on Friday, but weather forced them to play a doubleheader on Saturday, which they held on in game two to sweep that doubleheader and win the series from Auburn on the road. That was really big for them. In all honesty, it's really big for us because we inherit their schedule from an RPI standpoint and their wins as well. So they all play in together. So I'm glad they went on that road and did that because that only boosts us even more.
Right, and just a few seconds left, and then after that is Texas State. I know you don't want to look ahead, but it opens conference play, so a new era of Southern Miss baseball really begins this Friday night.
It does, yeah. This is a place that I've never been to before. I had the privilege of meeting their coach at the head coaches meetings in New Orleans back in August. Super guy, very class. I think I'm going to really like him, but you know, a great program. Last year, they probably should have hosted a regional, but they made a regional last year. Everybody says they're really good. I think I checked them this morning. I think they're 10-5.
Correct.
They have one of the projected top 40 pitchers in the country or top 40 players, draftable players, who is their Friday night guy that will probably give us everything we want more.
All right, Coach, always great pleasure having you on our show, and we'll look forward to talk to you next Monday.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Coach Scott Berry, everybody. I'm already going to go ahead now and say the dumbest post of the week has already been put up on Eagle Post. Friday night is Scott Berry on the hot seat.
He was on the wet seat Sunday. And now he matches Juan Cardona for the most soaked clothing after a ball game.
But he's not on any sort of hot seat.
No.
We'll be back.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right. I want to thank Jana King for sponsoring the Super Talk Eagle Hour. The king of clean, Jana King. Their team has been working for over 35 years, cleaning places of work, education, medicine, eateries, stadiums, and worship. You can go to JanaKingCleans.com and find out how Jana King can help your business. You know, I want to thank Scott Berry. Kelly, I don't guess I've ever told you this, but early in the year, Jack Duggan was telling me that he was really having to budget Coach Berry's time, manage it for him, because he had so many requests
sure.
for interviews.
Sure.
And, you know, he graciously now for 10 years has given us a half an hour every Monday, their first real long, you know, first extended interview he does every week. We appreciate that.
Because it is, I mean, when you see other interviews that he does on other, you know, radio stations across the state, and then you'll see him on Facebook on some other. I mean, it gets to be a real hassle.
I'm sure it does.
You know?
All right, let's switch gears. Basketball men in the NIT as expected on the road at UAB Wednesday night. Pretty tough matchup. UAB, always a quality basketball program.
Well, it's the old, you know,
yeah,
what?
I know.
League.
Yeah. Well, it's an old rival too.
Yeah, for sure. You know? But on the plus side, it's a drivable game, you know, for Southern Miss and for Southern Miss fans. I'm sure it's not where the Eagles obviously wanted to be in the NCAA tournament, but one thing is clear, Bob, from the brackets that came out, the Eagles are not going to get a home game. I mean,
no.
And you see even in the NIT some of the biases.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
You know, when it comes to records and overall bodies of work, you got a lot of teams with much better records.
Right.
And much better ratings up and down the scale, but they're on the road.
Well, let's play this, though, for just a minute. Say the Golden Eagles were to beat UAB. They're going to play the winner of Clemson and Morehead State. What if Morehead State upset Clemson? Do you think the Southern Miss would be sent to Morehead State?
You would think not.
Where is Morehead State?
It's in Kentucky. I think that's where Donnie Tindall came from.
Oh,
okay. Morehead State.
Well, we'll see. You know, USM, the only Sun Belt team in the NIT. It's amazing. Yeah, listen to this, Kelly. 16-16 Florida, 16-14 Wisconsin, 17-15 Michigan, 17-16 Colorado. Just four examples of teams with lesser records than some of the Sun Belt teams. But they pamper those big. They pamper those money conferences.
So Florida from the SEC, Wisconsin from the Big Ten,
Michigan from the Big Ten,
and Colorado from the Pac-12.
Yes, and don't feel too sorry for Florida. I mean, the SEC, they have nine. They have eight in the NCAAs and one in the NIT. So nine of their teams are in postseason. But it's even worse. The women do not get in. 20 wins. Conference co-champions, win the first game of the tournament, so they have a postseason win. They're not in the WNIT, but 15-14 Auburn.
SEC.
16-15 Clemson.
ACC.
16-14 Florida.
SEC.
17-16 Kansas State.
Big 12.
17-15 Oregon.
Pac-12.
16-16 Wake Forest.
ACC.
You know, it's just, I posted this. I don't do this often, but I posted this on social media, and I got a response that told me it was a dumb statement. The NCAA is not about fairness. The NCAA is about protecting the Power Five money schools. That's my opinion.
I don't disagree. I mean, and when we joke about all the time if, and we go back to the Louisville and North Carolina incidents. And who was it that said, now that North Carolina has been found guilty of all this stuff, Central Michigan better watch out because...
Yeah, Jerry Tartanian.
Yeah, they're gonna get punished for this. When Patino went through the problems at Louisville and some of the problems that happened at North Carolina, I assert that if that would have happened to a Southern Miss or a Central Michigan, as we used in that example, the penalties would have been much worse. In fact, the penalties were non-existent at Louisville and North Carolina. Now, while I'm criticizing North Carolina in that particular sense, something that Carolina did over the weekend, which I respect, is that they did not make the NCAA tournament and they flat rejected the NIT. They said, we at North Carolina play to play in the big dance. And if we're not good enough to make the big dance, we're not going anywhere else. A lot of people would say that's not good for the athletes. The athletes deserve to play. But at North Carolina, in their basketball program, they work to make the NCAA tournament. Right. And if they're not good enough to make that tournament, they're not going to play at all.
I think my math is right. I think there are a total of 10 SEC teams either in the NCAA or the NIT.
So Mississippi State's in. They backed in and got one of those first
play-in game, right?
Right.
Right.
And I think
is nothing new.
I mean, I think if they win, Bob, they're going to play my Cyclones.
Are they?
I think so. The way the in the Midwest region.
We'll be pulling hard for the Cyclones.
Well, I would be anyway, but the Cyclones have a terrible history of getting upset in the first round, so we hope that doesn't happen.
Well, the bias is there. The bias is never going to stop, and I don't think it's ever going to stop. I just think it's unbelievable that the women were not invited to the WNIT. Unbelievable, I think.
I agree. Because it's supposed to be about, it's not supposed to be about the attendance. It's not supposed to be about number of season ticket holders. It's supposed to be about the body of work. And what these women were able to do, particularly with Joy Lee's team, Bob, the number of road wins,
right?
You know, that they amassed.
Right.
That should have gotten some extra consideration.
Playing hot at the end of the year?
But apparently, you know, it didn't. You know, people say, well, all these fields need to be expanded. But with all due respect to everybody that thinks that, it doesn't matter how many teams
no.
you put in there. There's always going to be some teams. If it's 100 teams, the 101st team would have said, well, we deserve to be in there. You know, so it's a tough job, but the men are in, and now you can put full focus on the men going up to UAB and beating a former Conference USA rival.
Not going to be easy.
No.
But should be entertaining for sure.
And the guys certainly deserve at least this. I was really hoping that they would get a home game out of this because, again, in my opinion, the Southern Miss fan base did everything it was supposed to do, yeah. as well as the guys doing what they were supposed to do on the court.
Interesting scenario. Should Morehead State upset Clemson and USM beat UAB, is that game really going to be at Morehead State?
I would just think not. I mean, I really would think not.
A lot of ifs, but boy, oh boy, that'll be interesting to see, right?
Yeah, it would be because you would think that game would be in Hattiesburg if that were. But by the same token, you can bet that the NIT people are betting their mortgages that Clemson is going to win that game.
Oh yeah, no, you know? For sure. What they're thinking is that UAB is going to be at Clemson. That's what they're thinking.
Right.
Yeah,
that's exactly what both home teams, the prohibitive favorites. But look, I think the Eagles can go up there and beat UAB.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think. I wish Alvarez was playing. Probably not going to play. Kelly and Ben Milam will be doing the show the rest of the week. And Kelly's been really good at getting a coach on. So I'm not sure if the day before the end. Probably so. I mean They've been very open. So
is that game tomorrow, Bob, or Wednesday?
I think that game is Wednesday, Kelly.
Okay, because I
listen, wait a second. I've got it right here.
Because
Tuesday. No, it's
Tuesday. Yeah, I thought it was tomorrow.
It's Tuesday, tomorrow night.
Yeah.
March 14th, 6:30 Central Standard Time.
Yeah, so we'll have complete pregame coverage tomorrow on the Eagle Hour as Southern Miss gets ready to play UAB. And then, as you mentioned, Southeastern Louisiana with Coach Reiser down there, Matt Reiser.
You know, while you were talking to Scott, I pulled him up. I was just kind of running late today and really jumped out at me there that they went up there and beat Auburn. And then he says they beat him in a doubleheader. To go to Auburn and beat him two games in a row on their field in the same day, you got to have some talent to do that.
And Matt Reiser, the coach of Southeastern, of course, he's a Picayune native. Right, and has been down there for a while, and that is a guy. Matt Reiser is a guy that I'm really surprised none of the Power Fives have picked him up as, and maybe for whatever reason he likes it in Hammond and wouldn't want to leave, but man, he's put together a resume and year in and year out for a Southland conference school, and the Southland by far their best sport is baseball, you know. So, but I'm surprised somebody hasn't snatched him up.
And so for all of those that think the sky has fallen, the Golden Eagles are ranked 25th in the two major polls today, Baseball America D1. They win 10 out of 15 playing what clearly has been the toughest preseason schedule in the years that we've been covering baseball that we've seen. And short of one game that they really kind of blew it late against Mississippi State, you know, they've done very well. I mean, overall, they've done very, very well. And fascinating that you asked Coach how he rated that pitching staff, and he was honest, gave you an honest assessment. So,
I think I would have maybe given him a 7, but that just shows you how coaches are always going to be tougher on their own guys. But remember, it's all out of love, man. Only onward and upward.
All right, we'll be right back. Go take a look at the Sun Belt Conference baseball standings. That'll open your eyes a little bit as well as the Eagle Hour continues.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour. I want to thank D1 and DBAT for their sponsorship of our program. It is a great facility on Hardy Street. Perfect place to take your child if they're into baseball or softball. Also, D1 is a great adult athletic training facility. State-of-the-art facility, great trainers, great programs for everybody. D1 and DBAT. Also, kind of ironic to talk about training and then go to this next sponsor, but Mobe Beignet.
No, it makes perfect sense.
After you train, go down to Mobe Beignet and have a couple of beignets and some great coffees. And of course, that's where we had the great Mobe Beignet eat all. Did you sand? Now that he's not here, did you sandbag that just a little bit that day?
Actually, when I started and saw how he was going through them like there was no tomorrow, I knew I didn't have a chance. I was going to savor every bite of that scrumptious beignet with the with the powdered sugar
on
top.
I believe he ate six of them things.
And the honey butter dip that was in. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. They have a new dip every month, a sauce that you put on top. My favorite's the strawberry. I just think it's,
but that's seasonal. The strawberry seasonal.
I know. I've tried to talk to them about making it year-round, but they ignored me. They ignored me. Yeah. Mobe Beignet on Hardy Street, the official beignet store of the Super Talk Eagle Hour, and we're happy to say they're great friends of ours and great supporters of Southern Miss Athletics. Baseball ranked 25th in Baseball America and D1 that came out this morning. There are a number of polls. I checked those two. Primarily, those are your two go-to polls. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so, especially in baseball, yeah.
So the Golden Eagles now are a month into the season. They haven't been out of the polls a month. And even when they hit some rough spots, the pollsters still respect the program and keep them in the top 25. But make no mistake, this is going to be a difficult week. You know, we just talked about Southeast Louisiana. Texas State was a regional team last year. They're off to an identical 10-5 start. They've won three straight games. Southeast Louisiana coming in, two straight wins over Auburn. These are going to be tough matchups, as is the entire league, Kelly Center. Here we are right now as we get ready to open league play. Old Dominion, we know about them, 13-2. Maybe the best team I saw us play last year. Troy, 13-3. Louisiana, we know about the Cajuns, 10-5. USM, 10-5. This week's opponent, Texas State, 10-5. Coastal Carolina, just a couple of years removed from the national championship, 9-5.
And Coastal Carolina, Bob, is knocking the fire out of the ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the last two weekends they've averaged like 12 runs a game.
Beat an undefeated Wake Forest team last midweek. Scored 13 runs.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. Coastal is lighting up the scoreboard.
You kind of go on down the list. Maybe a couple of surprises. South Alabama, traditionally a really fine program, 8-8, and Georgia Southern, 7-9. Georgia Southern will be playing here within the next few weeks. And Georgia Southern hosted a regional last year, correct?
That's right, they did. And Rodney Hennon has been there, very similar to Scott Berry, Georgia Southern's program. Rodney Hennon has been there probably close to 20 years now. And Georgia Southern is where a lot of the guys that don't get into Georgia, you know, it's not that they couldn't play at Georgia, it's academically they can't necessarily get in. Now, I'm not berating Georgia Southern's admittance standards at all, but I'm just saying Georgia's a tough place to get into. But so these are guys that could play at Georgia that maybe just academically couldn't get in. So they're always going to be strong. I'm a little bit surprised, though, by that Georgia Southern record because I think they're better than that.
Well, they've lost five straight, so they were 7-4 at one point and apparently lost the weekend series, the midweek, and the last game of the previous series.
And you don't know if they're going through some injury, you know, trials and tribulations or what, and we'll get to Georgia Southern in time for sure.
You know, I thought the two best teams that I saw play here last year were Old Dominion, as I just mentioned, and Texas San Antonio. Won't have to deal with them. But, man, here's Old Dominion, 13-2, and talk about a team that could hit the baseball. They could really hit the baseball.
Yeah, I know all these teams, Bob, that were in the Sun Belt before have all been very gracious and positive in their comments about Southern, Marshall, Old Dominion, you know, all of the new guys coming into the league. But you have to think under their breath, they're going, you know, where do these guys get off? You know, they come in there. The men win the basketball conference. Yeah. Southern Miss was supposed to finish dead last, right? And they win the regular
women,
season.
Women as well.
The women are up there.
Remember, the cross-country team won the first cross-country championship last year, right after we came in the league.
And, of course, the indoor track team, you know, tearing it up. And look, credit Marshall as well. You know, Marshall has done very well. Old Dominion out at the top of the baseball standings. There might be some people saying, let's get these teams out of here.
James Madison.
You know?
James Madison.
They're in the
So they're in the NCAA.
Right.
Yeah.
So
two women's teams, they're in the NCAA from winning the tournament, and then Texas State, which is a pretty tough team,
right,
in the NIT. So, okay, Kelly and Ben Milam will have the show the remainder of the week, I believe. I'll be out of town. Luke is out of town, but guys will take care of it. And the one and only Michael Mergens will be on the show every day.
And to the listeners, remember, when the cat's away,
the mice sometimes play.
That's right.
All right. Till next time, everybody. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping into the future. To the sea, fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.